Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Joining me right now is Dwayne Hopkins, the director of Bypass, and the film is here in the Orizzonte section in competition. Welcome, Dwayne.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
And so I believe yesterday was the premiere for the film, right?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your Venice experience. I know that your short film was selected for Cannes, but that was Cannes. So what's the Venice experience like?
Well, I also had a feature at Cannes. That was back in 2008, called Better Things. But Venice seems quite different, but it's similar in a lot of ways. You know, you come here, you represent the film, you kind of promote it, you do the interviews. But it's always strange because normally with these festivals, it's like the first time that you've actually spoken about the film.
I mean,
I've only just finished the film, so it's a new thing for me. The film is still a little bit of a mystery.
you were saying to me off air, I should say, that you just literally finished the sound for the movie?
I mean, I was actually still mixing the sound for the film about 70 hours ago. So basically they just came in and said, okay, we have to take these files now, otherwise we won't have time to actually make the, you know,
oh,
the file to actually play the film. So actually seeing it last night was the first time I'd seen the picture and the sound kind of completed and together.
That's incredible, because actually that's what I call cutting edge cinema. I mean, literally get the film, get it here and get it played.
Yeah, it was pretty good for the adrenaline, actually.
Well, I have to say, I was actually there at the premiere. I did give you a round of applause.
Thank you.
Was it kind of, does it give you a sense of, more of a sense of reality when you finally get here in front of an audience? And how does it feel to see your film in front of an audience? Because, of course, this is the premiere for the film.
Yeah.
It hasn't been seen anywhere else. So, you know, what does it feel like as a filmmaker? Does it feel a little bit, does it make you anxious? Does it?
No, it doesn't necessarily make you anxious. I mean, I got a lot of faith in the film and I've really enjoyed making it. But, you know, it's different because for the last 2 years, every single conversation I have about the film is kind of creative.
Sure.
So you're building up to kind of this finished kind of piece that you have. And then last night, you share it with a brand new audience. So most other people who watched the film have already seen it and have other kind of opinions.
Right.
And you know, the experience of watching it with them is people who already know kind of the script or so on. But here it's completely kind of raw. It's totally sort of new. So you see the film really afresh. And I mean, to see it with, like, I think last night was like 1,400 people or something. To see it with that amount of people and to see what's kind of working, to see kind of all the work that we've put in and how it pins people, that's great. It was very, very nice.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of a Bypass, let's just, if you don't mind, just telling our audience a little bit about it, because I'm sure with the made with Torino Film Lab,
I believe.
And also BFI, so I'm hoping that it will get distribution in the UK at some point.
Yeah, I would have thought so. I mean, I think, you know, we'll probably get a distributor within the next couple of months, I would have thought. We didn't want to kind of go with a distributor beforehand. We wanted to make the film, then show it to them, then see who's the right partner to kind of release with. But we'll see. I expect, you know, we'll probably have a distributor by London, which will be in a few months.
That will be great.
Yeah.
That'll be kind of almost the end of the trail for now, and then there'll be maybe a DVD and so on.
Yeah.
So that's always an accomplishment. But in terms of the film itself, Bypass, just tell us a little bit about what the film's about.
Well, it's always hard to kind of summarize the film, but essentially the story of the film is that we meet this this one kid called Tim, who's around 20 years old, and we understand certain things about his family. We meet his older brother, we meet his younger sister, we know that his parents, or his one parent, is there at the start of the film, but through the film he loses her. And really it's a film about those characters. I wanted to make an emotional film, a singular film about a family's history, their present and their possible future. So and that was set in the context of kind of, I'm from the working class, that's how I grew up in England. And normally I've always worked with non-actors, and I normally kind of take my characters from that class. And over the last few years, maybe the last kind of 10 years when I've been casting, I've noticed that that class seems to be disappearing. And really what it's being replaced by in one way is kind of quite a debt-laden kind of middle class.
Yeah.
Or there's almost like an underclass who seem to have fallen off the economic map. So I just wanted to make a film which was set in that kind of milieu and to kind of see what their, how they survive, how they function within society is kind of quite different. They have a different set of kind of survival techniques. And of course, you know, I reconfigure all these things for the cinema, but at the same time they're about kind of something different, you know.
Well, I mean, when I go and see a film, and I'm always pleased, because when it's intrinsically British, you really do feel, I mean, you know, those are scenes, I've not been to those locations, but I know I can relate to them, you know, intrinsically, because it's part of my growing up as well, you know. And what was interesting to me, George MacKay is absolutely fantastic,
yeah,
and it really does hinge, he plays the character Tim, and it does hinge a lot on him and his performance, and I believe that he lost a lot of weight for this role, because he, in the film, as we see, he progressively gets a little bit more and more sick, and we're not quite sure why, and we won't say why, but I felt that that was a physical manifestation of his emotional life. And that, and it, every time I saw him looking sick, it kind of gave me a little sick feeling inside, you know, that it just tugged at the emotions as well. Just wondering, was that what you were trying to achieve?
Absolutely.
And what did George bring to the role that you were absolutely hoping and banking on?
Well, it was very intentional that we wanted the illness to kind of represent that. On the one hand, it's very real. On the other hand, it's completely metaphorical. So it's really about kind of his moral kind of descent. He knows he's doing things more and more wrong throughout the film in order to provide for people. And really, that's coming out of him. It's almost like an alarm bell. It's, you know, it's something within him saying, you shouldn't be doing this. And I spoke with Alessandro, the makeup guy, about this, and we said we didn't want the illness to be something that was totally negative. So we spoke about the illness almost being like a flower that was kind of blossoming kind of on his skin. But with George, in terms of kind of working with him, I've always worked with non-actors before, but I knew that I wanted to work with actors now. I've always been fascinated by the generation of actors. You know, we always have a very strong talent pool in the UK.
There's
people like Gary Oldman, Tim Roth, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis, you know, Ray Winstone, these guys that are a big kind of hero of mine, Alan Clark kind of found. And really, with this, the remit with the casting director was, I said I wanted to find what I felt were kind of the next generation of these people who had the same commitment to their craft and the same kind of huge kind of talent. And with George, when I met him, I felt that there was a lot of similarities between him and Tim, in that even though they'd have a different set of life circumstances, they're both very sensitive, they're both very caring, they're both very open, but they're both also very courageous, I think. And so I said to George, I think if we work together, then the idea is that basically we strip away George and we'll find Tim. So you just have to imagine a parallel kind of world of where you didn't have the same opportunities. And that was our kind of start point, sort of psychologically. But then we wanted to do something physically. And the idea that we came up with was basically losing weight so that he would feel differently within his body. He still has the same psychology. He still has the same kind of emotional sort of responses. He still has the same norms and values. But every time he looks in the mirror, he sees a very different person to the person that he's kind of grown up with.
Yeah.
So then he can feel physically very, very different.
Yeah, I mean, I read as well that he kind of also, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he kind of wanted to also, not only the physicality of the role, but also wanted to bring his own ideas about what the character would wear and stuff
that. I mean, it's all dialogue, and I do this with all the characters, but I had to do it very, very intensely with George, because he wanted to feel very, very connected to all of the material that was around Tim, because this is all things that kind of inform the performance. So I just tried to facilitate that as much as possible. Whenever I needed to make a decision about, is it this jacket, is it this jeans, is it this bike, it's like, okay, what do you think, what do you feel about this? Because obviously, at the same time as I'm in prep and I'm doing all the technical work, I'm having constant discussions with him about how he's building his backstory. Because when we meet these characters at this point in the script, when the film starts, they're, of course, a number of years into their life experience. So what we have to try and figure out is, how did they get to that point?
Sure.
You know, what's their emotional state when we first meet them? If you do all that foundation work, then really you're on very strong ground when you actually try and navigate through the script and through the film.
Yeah. In terms of the style, I mean, I can't let you go without talking about it. There's a very distinctive style throughout the film. I really like the kind of mirror reflections, the window reflections, using that as a device to kind of be able to see the other characters perhaps in the room. So there was a scene with Tim and Helen, and we kind of get the reflection, because, you know, sometimes when you, you know how when you look at yourself and then you see a reflection, some, you know, you're
it's
kind of flipped, right?
Yeah.
So it's interesting because obviously in reality we have different perceptions, so I can perceive the same situation in two different ways, which is why I like that sort of reflection. And the there's slow-mos, there's extreme close-ups, there's a real strong style there. How did you develop that? And obviously it was a very conscious decision of yours.
Well, I spoke with a lot with the DOP, David Proctor, and I mean, I can be a little bit possessive of the camera.
Give me the camera.
Exactly, choosing the lenses, everything else. But I felt so kind of confident with him, and he already had a certain style himself, which I really liked in his other work that I'd seen. And I thought, okay, I think if your DNA and my DNA kind of meet in terms of what we think the camera is, this could be very, very interesting. So we'd kind of push and pull each other in kind of certain directions, really. And I'm very, very happy with what we found. But it's interesting what you're saying about perspectives, because it's really something which is completely unique to film. Mm-hmm. I mean, film has all the other aspects that we steal from other art forms. You know, the script is literature, and the acting is theatre, the photography is from, you know, the cinematography is from photography. But really, editing is completely unique. This ability that we can see the same action from several different angles, put it together and have a different kind of response to it. So it was just trying to find a different way that we can cover a scene. You know, we all know about kind of cinema grammar and kind of language, and it's something we're very used to. But is there a way that you can kind of stay on that track but kind of subvert it, so that all the time you feel as though you're watching a brand new story, something very, very new and unique?
Yeah, I mean, just finally, I mean, following on from that and the style, I mean, I should explain to the audience, because perhaps they, you know, they won't know too much about it yet, but the style whereby you have the character, the audio is quite linear, so the action from the sound is continuous, and then you have a visual, if I can call it, I don't want to call it a montage, but it's a visual representation almost of the consciousness of the character. So that kind of breaks the out of a, you know, what's going on. So you're listening to the action going on linear, in a linear way, but then there's also something else going on visually. And it really, I have to say, you really mess with my head when I first started. I was like, what's Dwayne doing to me right now? I'm quite tired.
Well, I think you know, good films are films which kind of give you almost kind of a hyper reality, almost kind of a drug experience, that you go in there and there's something which really removes you from how you normally kind of see reality. And there's a great kind of quote from Bresson who says, anything that you give to the eye, you remove from the ear. Anything you give to the ear, you remove from the eye. So essentially, as long as you have reality on kind of one track, whether that be the sound or the image, then on the other track, you can do really whatever you want. You can kind of go in another direction because you've got that authentic reality piece, and then you can move actually into the interior of the character. That for me is when it gets really exciting.
Yeah, it was really good. And were you pleased with the reaction yesterday at the
screening?
Oh yeah,
very pleased. I mean, I was blown away. You know, I wasn't sure of the protocol, because like at the end, like my producer leaned into me and said, no, you got to stand up, Matt.
And it was I didn't quite know
what kind of I was meant to do, so...
Well, you did it very well, and very eloquently. It was, I think it's always overwhelming when you're with that many people. It's one of the biggest
it's enjoyable.
Salas, the cinemas that they screen the films in. So, and it was packed. So, yeah. Congratulations on being selected. I mean, this is only the first part of the process, and obviously, good luck in the competition, because we mustn't forget there's a competition part of this too. But thank you so much, Dwayne Hopkins, the writer director of Bypass, showing in the Orizzonte section at the festival. Thank you very much for sparing us a little bit of your time to talk to us today.
No problem, thanks.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.